Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Very pleased to have with us State Representative Ray Felder from the Fort Mill area, and she is here today to tell us all the great things we need to know about what's going on down in Columbia.
It's busy in Columbia.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So for those who are not familiar with you, I can't imagine they don't know who you are. But I think since the last time you were here, there's got to be at least 4,000 or 5,000 more people in Fort Mill.
Yes, and in our schools.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, you know, we now have frozen enrollment on 3 elementary schools because they're at capacity. And I know how frustrating that would be for a family that intentionally bought a home in this area because they wanted their child to go to that school. And now the enrollment's frozen. They're going to have to bus that child to another school. It's growing pains. It is definitely, well, all over York County.
It is, but you know, I could sit here and build a counter argument that what you really ought to be concerned about is the quality of the schools, and Fort Mill schools are great.
No matter
where they go, they're great.
They're all,
and nobody guarantees a neighborhood that they're going to have a school.
Yes.
It just kind of morphs that way, and sometimes you can't get that.
Exactly.
Be thankful that you're in the Fort Mill school system.
Yes.
There you go.
We are very blessed to be in the Fort Mill school system.
So anyway, tell everybody about you.
Well, I've served in the legislature now 10 years. I've started my 11th year. I've always served on the Education and Public Works Committee, and this year I'm actually on Labor, Commerce, and Industry. So it's been refreshing, something new. I'm learning a lot. So that's been a lot of fun. I now represent, after the census, we had so much growth north of the river. My district got cut in half. So now I represent from I-77 over to the Lancaster County line, up to the North Carolina. That's my district. I think my entire district now is about 8 square miles.
And your district number is?
26.
Number 26, okay. Yeah, I mean, we even got a brand new district with David O'Neill in the TKK area because of this growth.
And I was the new district 10 years ago. The brand new district 10 years ago. And here we are. And in 10 more years, we'll have another one.
Sure. You know. I keep waiting to see whether we're going to get a second senatorial district here. Mm-hmm. I mean, a full senatorial district.
Well, be a fourth, because now you've got three senators that all share your four senators that share York County.
That's right.
Senator Peeler has part, Senator Fanning has part, Senator Clymer, and Senator Johnson.
Yep, they all have a piece of it.
Yeah.
So here we are. What, in your opinion, is the numero uno thing that the legislature is going to deal with this year?
I think certificate of need is definitely up at the top of the list. The Senate's already taken action on that and sent it to the House. The House has started having hearings on that. And it seems to be two very diverse camps. One camp wants to just totally repeal CON. The other camp, which I tend to find myself aligned with, is more of a reform situation. I do think CON needs reform, but I also think that as a state, we owe it to our citizens that those areas of medicine that are not profitable are also available. Mental health is a huge need throughout our state, but it's also a very unprofitable for hospitals. Geriatric medicine, it's not profitable. If we're not really careful in reforming CON, birthing centers will be everywhere. From North Carolina, they will come down here and just bill. They'll build orthopedics. They'll build sports medicine. They'll build those facilities that are profitable. But in the meantime, we've got citizens that need care that are Medicaid patients, and that's typically not profitable.
You know, you could probably argue this thing both ways.
Yes.
A lot of the fire from this issue has the result of what Piedmont Medical Center had to go through for 15 or 17, whatever right. it was, years to get the certificate of need to build the brand new Piedmont Medical Center Ford Mill. And if you talk to a lot of people that are involved with a project, the scale of that, they would tell you, that, yes, that process needs to probably be reformed, but don't do away with it.
Right.
Because if you have every Tom, Dick, and Harry come in and build a hospital, what does that do?
And what does that do to South Carolina when North Carolina has a Certificate of Need program and so does Georgia? So we're going to open up our state boundaries for the out-of-state, you know. So I think we have to really look at this long range. What is it going to look like if we totally, you know, do away with CON? What do we look like in 10 years, you know?
Now, I'm sure you have talked with some of your delegation members on the Senate side.
Yes.
Who have been very robustly behind this. Senator Johnson, one of them. Senator Clymer, behind it. I mean, what are they telling you?
Well, they really think that the free market will handle itself.
And I understand that argument as well.
Yeah. Like I said, there's two different camps on this totally. But I also hear the parents and speak to the families who have a child that has mental problems or behavioral problems, and there's no place. There's no facility. There's no room for them. They're not safe for themselves or the other family members to live within the family unit. So they need a safe placement, and they need proper care. And we don't have that. And it's critical now. I mean,
you're thinking that if we abolish the certificate of need, that there won't be facilities like that?
Oh, no. Because they're not profitable.
Right.
You'll be able to get a knee done on every street corner. Orthopedic, that's a very profitable industry. Birthing centers, very profitable. So I think we have to be very careful and cautious in dealing with certificate of need and make sure that we protect South Carolina citizens so that the care they need is available within a reasonable distance.
So the bill that came over from the Senate is all or nothing?
Yes.
In other words, they're just going to carte blanche. Because I thought they had a provision in there for nursing homes, that they were going to be exempt from that.
And that may be, okay. Manning. I haven't read that legislation yet.
All right, so you've been down there long enough. Read the tea leaves. What do you think is going to happen? Because it'll probably go to a conference committee, right?
I would think it's probably headed for a conference committee at some point. But I'm really optimistic that we will put together some type of reform package that addresses the concerns and encourages more facilities throughout our state, especially in our rural communities.
Well, I'm sure, as I said earlier, that this Piedmont Medical Center Ford Mill has been a hot button of discussion down there in the legislature as this whole bill has been bandied about.
And it's wonderful to have Piedmont in Fort Mill.
Oh, absolutely.
I am amazed at how busy the hospital is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's incorrigible that thing took that long.
It is.
Because we allowed all these lawsuits to go on.
Right.
The hospital organization spent millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
And what benefit was it? None.
Yeah.
So I understand where the legislation came from. But you're right.
But reform does need to be there.
Okay.
I totally accept that. I think it's senseless that a hospital that wants to purchase a piece of equipment has to go through a certificate of need process. You know,
if
they feel like they need that $3 million robot, then they need to be able to purchase it.
Because they have to pay for it.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Okay, we could talk about this for an hour.
Yes. Easily.
Easily. So why don't we talk about the I don't know why I smile about this, but to think that there was a $3.5 billion accounting error by Secretary, what's his name?
Richard Ekstrom.
Ekstrom's, yeah. His department has been hanging out there for years and years and years, and now just all of a sudden became public.
Yes.
How does this happen?
I really can't explain how it happened. And I can say, though, that Senator Peeler is very adamant that we have to get to the bottom of this, we have to understand it better, and we have to make sure it never happens again. My understanding is part of the reasoning was we had an old, outdated computer system, if you will. They put in a new computer system, but it kept repeating that same error.
Well, and I know you don't have the answer for this, and I don't have the answer for it, but if it shows we're $3.5 billion out of whack,
yes,
does that mean everybody got the money that they were supposed to get?
That's what I have read in the newspapers, that they got the money they were supposed to get. And this isn't real dollars missing. It's the way it was accounted for in the paperwork.
Okay. Well, let's hope it turns out that way.
Yes.
Because there's going to be a lot of projects.
Exactly.
And yes. Has anybody, by God, confirmed that part? Did you know it?
The Senate had their first a hearing, I know, but I only heard minutes of it.
Right. Okay. We'll find out
from
the guys on the other side of the aisle.
Yes.
I should know this, but I don't. What are you working on this year?
Well, I definitely worked on the Transparency and Education Act. That was a piece of legislation we have spent 3 years on, trying to give parents, educators, and students a clear process when they feel material is inappropriate, they feel a library book is inappropriate, they feel the teacher used biased information. It gives them a process to make a true appeal, to get an answer from a school board in a timely manner, and then have a process to appeal it to the state school board before we actually crucify that teacher or educator all over social media.
Well, you represent Fort Mill, and Fort Mill was in the headlines for this topic. Was it last year?
Yeah. Year before last. The governor called us out.
Some books in the library. And I've forgotten the name of the book, but it created quite a stink.
Yes.
So now, with this bill, if it passes, has it passed the House?
It's passed the House. It's at the Senate.
All right. Now. So if it goes through both chambers, signed into law by the governor, there'd be a way to properly register a complaint.
Correct.
Okay. And this has taken 3 years to do?
Yes. It's taken 3 years to get us to this point. Of course, you know, the House and, the General Assembly works on a two-year cycle.
Right.
So the House had passed this previously in the session, and it made its way to the Senate, and unfortunately we just ran out of time before we got it across the finish line. So of course we had to start over again, so we spent the off session this year again talking to educators, talking to parents, making sure that we had covered the bases, because it's very difficult to define a bias. We all have a bias.
Sure,
you
absolutely
know? And I don't think that we can expect educators not to. I mean, it's life. But I do think parents need a process that is an acceptable process, that they feel like their grievance is being considered.
Well, public education is always in the news, one way or another. And with the upcoming presidential campaign, you can be assured it's going to be in there big time, because one of the candidates we think is going to be a candidate, Ron DeSantis down there in Florida, has been right straight up in face of this woke education. And he's not putting up with it. Not at all.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Henry McMaster is not going to put up with it either.
And I don't want to make it sound like this is a crisis throughout our state, because it's not.
Right.
I think the education is just like law enforcement and everything else. Most of the apples in that basket do an excellent job. But it's that one or two that tarnishes the reputation of everyone and creates a reason to create a process for transparency.
Sure. So let's talk a little bit more about education. For the last couple of years, the state has put more money into teacher salaries. Still not anywhere near where they need to be.
Yeah.
And you got this critical shortage. What are you hearing down there this year?
Well, I have a piece of legislation in this year that I truly think should make it to the governor's desk. now teachers in our state, they sign a contract with a district, and they don't even yet know what they're going to get paid. The contract is due before the districts actually have their salary schedule. And part of that is the responsibility of the legislature, because we're so late passing a state budget.
Right.
And teachers have to go ahead and sign a contract. That needs to change. The other thing that needs to change is, currently, if a teacher does not fulfill her contract, the state board can suspend her teaching certificate for 1 year. That law went on the books in 1962.
Ooh.
Now, I can't say why it went on the books. I wasn't. But it went on the books in 1962 that says if a teacher enters a contract, she must teach to the end of that contract or face suspension of her license for 1 year. And that's 1 year from when the state school board hears it and makes a decision. So I got involved in this and learned so much about it. Of course, during the pandemic, we had teachers uncomfortable going back into live classrooms. Maybe they had a small child. Maybe they had a premature baby born, and they just felt like, I need to stay home a little bit longer. I also had a situation that was a domestic. You had a teacher and a coach in a romantic relationship. It went south. Teacher's like, I need to change schools. He's walking up and down the aisles, making me uncomfortable. You know, every time I look out my door, he's in the hallway. Why, in a right-to-work state, does a teacher not have the right, the ability, without giving up their livelihood, to change schools? And I understand where the school district's coming from. And I know the school board association's probably not going to like this. But we've got to work something out there. Educators, that's a profession. They should be treated as such.
So your legislation would allow them to
yes.
do this. But back to the subject of money. What do you see coming this year, if anything, in terms of teacher salaries?
Yeah, I think we'll still see us focused on teacher salaries, getting those up to where they need to be. And I think you're also going to see a lot more. Currently, we have a few school districts in our state that have looked at alternative calendars, which allows teachers to have more breaks during the school year.
Well, yeah, we have some here locally.
Yeah, we have some now locally that's doing it. And the teachers that I've talked with seem to really be appreciative of that, because it's very difficult when they go back in August. They really don't have a break of any substance other than a day here or a day there until the Christmas break. That's a long time.
Well, let's see now. Clover has done it, I think.
I think Clover has.
And York?
And Fort Mill's looking at it.
But I think Fort Mill's not going to do it this coming year. They're going to look at it for the following year. Anyway, and I think Rock Hill is looking at it as well.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, what we do here at Substation 2 is, where it is, you got it, the cue card. We got the cue card. All right, fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. And the way we do it, 1, 2, 3, slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
With Comporium, you get way more than home security. You get eyes everywhere. Remote access to lights and locks from anywhere. And right now, you'll get a secure home for a lot less than you think with anytime live video streaming, remote temperature control, and 24/7 monitoring. We're more than your internet company. We're your peace of mind, never felt this easy company. For zero stress levels, stay connected to what matters most. Comporium, always ready.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Now open, the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Did you hear the news? Founders Federal Credit Union just gave account holders a $20 million super loyalty bonus. Ready to experience Founders? Make the switch today. Unlock your financial potential with top-tier financial tools and five-star member service. What are you waiting for? Visit a Founders location near you or visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership today. Relax. Switch to Founders Federal Credit Union. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you want to find the best subs and salads, tell Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Representative Ray Felder is with us. She represents District Number 26, which has grown so much in 10 years that it's now half the size it used to be.
Exactly, yeah.
And we created a new district with David O'Neill. All right. You have come up, I don't know where you found this thing, South Carolina Manufacturing Madness. What is this all about?
South Carolina Manufacturing Association, or Alliance. I believe they're South Carolina Manufacturing Alliance. They have a competition every year. What's made in South Carolina? What do we manufacture in South Carolina? And what's going to be the top prize, the top vote getter, if you will? It's sort of like American Idol for manufacturing. So on their website today, it went live, scmanufacturingmadness.com. And you get to go on there and look at all of these fabulous things, from bandanas to boats that are manufactured in South Carolina, and vote. And the top vote getter will be this year's winner. So I encourage people to go on there and look and see what is actually manufactured in our great state. And one of the nominees this year is Hanauer Fine Accessories, which makes bow ties and regular ties and other fine accessories right there on Main Street in Fort Mill.
I thought you were going to talk about Pucker Butt.
Oh, well, they do. They manufacture hot sauce. And a lot of it. And they also have a chocolate candy bar that is hot. It has
Dr. Oliver says it's so hot, you better go to the ER before you take a bite out of it.
Exactly. Yes, by all means. But it was amazing to me. I just quickly looked through it this morning to see all the different things manufactured here in our great state. It shows how diverse we really are.
Yeah, as you say, from airplanes and automobiles to bow ties. Crazy.
Yes.
So let's the state of our economy. It's great. Everybody's raving about how low the unemployment is. In fact, last numbers that I was looking at, 2.8% unemployment here in York County, 2.8%, 3.3% in Lancaster County. Yet in South Carolina, where we've got, what was the number here, 13,616 job openings, we still have, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. We have 13,616 people continuing to get unemployment. And yet we have thousands of jobs that are open, 103,397 open jobs.
Open jobs.
So how do we fix this?
Well, I think we fix this because a lot of people are underemployed. Our technical system does a wonderful job. I was so proud to see York Tech is going to continue the tuition-free assistance for students. So I do think getting our education of higher ed, whether it's a tech school, a college, or whatever, we need to line up with what jobs are out there. We need to line up with the education needed to do the jobs that are available, because jobs change. Manufacturing has changed tremendously. So much of it now is robotics. So it's, I think part of that is education that aligns with the job market.
So is not part of this also maybe the people who process these jobless claims to be a little bit more proactive to figure out what's going on, so that, let's just say, somebody didn't have this skill set to do a robotic. Okay, for you to continue to get your unemployment claim, you are going to have to enroll over here at York Technical College in this particular program and get started. And we will pay you unemployment while you're getting educated. You don't do that, we ain't going to pay you anymore.
I do think we're going to have to look at some creative ways to align people with the careers that they want and the careers that they feel align.
You're not biting on my idea.
Well, when you start saying you're going to take away unemployment if you don't do certain things,
right,
we have that process in place now. You have to be actively looking for work. You have to prove you're actively looking for work. Now, do some fall through the cracks, Manning? I totally would have to agree with you.
But every place
you walk into has a help wanted sign.
Yeah, I was going to say, you would have to say, what is going on here when you have 13,000 claims and you've got 103,000 job openings? You're going to tell me these people can't find work? I don't buy that.
I understand. There's definitely work out there, but we've got to find a way to align that worker with the job that they're skilled for.
Did you not just tell me that you're on this new committee called Labor and something?
Commerce and Industry, yes.
Yeah, same thing, right?
Right.
Okay. So why wouldn't you take it upon yourself to call one of these, you know, people from the unemployment insurance people?
Yeah.
And sit down and say, enlighten me, educate me. Why do we have 13,000 claims out there and $103,000 job openings?
Yeah. And, you know, DEW has been under a tremendous amount of workload coming out of the pandemic. I mean, that was a difficult situation. But I do think that there is a great effort now for DEW to look at better ways of aligning the skill of the worker to the job that's available.
And DEW stands for Department of Unemployment Insurance?
Department of Employment and Workforce.
Okay, same thing. All right.
Yes, same thing.
So I'm serious. I want you to come back here next time and say, you know what?
We solved it.
No. If nothing else, for you to have a conversation. Even if it's one-on-one with whoever's and find out what the heck's going on here.
Yeah.
The numbers don't make any sense.
Well, and I agree with you that the numbers don't make any sense. And I also think that we're to a point now where we're going to have to look at that finite line of when do you exhaust your unemployment benefit, because there's jobs out there.
Ray Felder, thanks for all that you do. Don't forget the South Carolina Manufacturing Madness.com. Go check out all the crazy things being done in the state of South Carolina to make things. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, one more time we do it to tell the masses out there what they're missing by not being here today. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. Underscore that 9 p.m. All right, very important. How do we do it? At the count of three, 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.